is Adele on your greatest hit station, 91 at 2 AM. Now, a little bit earlier, we caught up with Queensland Senator Matt Canavan to talk about the Manufacturing 2035 plan, a nine-point plan that the Nationals backbenchers think will double manufacturing down under. To get Labor's thoughts on this one, Hunter MP Joel Fitzgibbon, a regular on the show, joins me this morning. Joel, how are you doing?
I'm going okay, thanks, Jess.
Now, what are your thoughts on this Manufacturing 2035 plan?
Well, Jess, we want to be a country which makes things again. Gee, I wish I'd thought about that. How many conversations have I had with you about that? Now, Matt Canavan is complaining about the terrible things that have happened over the last decade. His problem is that for eight of those 10 years, he was in government, or has been in government. He's still in government. In fact, he was a senior cabinet minister. So, you know, I think it's a bit of a political play because the National Party's in a bit of trouble. They're getting bullied by Scott Morrison and they've lost their influence. So there's nothing in the plan. I've read it. It's pretty much motherhood. And, of course, the key political strike in it is to say we need a new coal-fired generator in the Hunter Valley. Well, in the Upper Hunter, well, no one would welcome that more than me. But the reality is it's not going to happen because investors are no longer interested in spending $3 billion or more on a generator for which they'd need a 40 to 50-year return. It just isn't going to happen, sadly. So I've been focusing on building alternative opportunities in energy so we do remain the main engine room of New South Wales, looking at gas and hydro and battery storage and the like.
On that push for a coal-fired power station in this plan, you just said that you would love to have one here, but it's simply not going to happen. Matt Canavan said earlier this morning in response to those comments that Labor MPs like yourself simply don't want to have the fight for it.
No, that's just not true, Jess. And remember, 5 minutes ago, they were going to extend Liddell. They were going to keep Liddell open. And that was never going to be the case because the economics don't stack up, Jess. Now, in Collinsville, Matt Canavan and others have won the fight with Scott Morrison. There's something they won at least, to spend $3 million on a feasibility study to determine whether you could build a coal-fired power generator in Collinsville in Queensland. And yet they're now saying they want one for the Hunter without a feasibility study. So I don't know how they reconcile that. But one thing we do know, Jess, is that Scott Morrison is not going to spend $3 billion of taxpayers' money on a coal-fired generator. You know, that's 200 expressways, and it's probably more expensive than that. It's not going to happen. Matt Canavan knows it's not going to happen. But if an investor came along and was willing to do it, well, there's no law stopping it, and I would encourage it. In fact, Jess, if we build a high-efficiency, low-emissions generator with carbon capture and storage, you could do it and make a net positive contribution to our efforts to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. But you've got to have the money, and no one's offering it.
On the manufacturing side of things, how would Labor work to double manufacturing? Do we just get in and do it, get businesses to build more stuff down under, get businesses to buy more stuff from local manufacturers rather than going overseas?
Well, you've got to be realistic about it. That's the first point, Jess. You know, no point running around with these plans promising the world when you know you can't deliver. Most of the manufacturing we've lost has not been because of energy prices, as important as they are, but most of them left under relatively low energy prices. The big problem for us is, one, scale. That is, we're a small country, and when you produce something, you don't produce a whole lot of it. You know, like in China, there are $1.3 billion customers. So scale, cost of production. We rightly have high wages here in Australia and high safety standards, etc. We can't make things as cheaply as, you know, developing nations where they don't have those standards. And three, we're not close to the big market. So if you're making something, you know, in Southeast Asia, you're close to the Indian and China markets. Whereas Australia, we are relatively isolated. So we've got to pick our marks. So we can do well in advanced manufacturing, where it's about smarts, brains, rather than volume. We can improve government procurement. So governments spend more of their money on Australian production. And we can subsidise those manufacturing sectors which are essential to us. What is essential? Defence, we already subsidised that. Food and fuel security and health products.
Now, something else you've been talking a lot about today, you're backing the move for Mark Butler to be shifted from being the climate spokesperson for Labor.
Yeah, well, I called upon Anthony Albanese to move Mark Butler last November. I have respect for Mark Butler, but he's been our climate change salesman for a long, long time. And he's been the leader of our policy for a long, long time, and we keep losing elections in part because of our failed climate change policy. So it makes sense to me. I'm pleased he's done that. I think that will make Labor more competitive. And, you know, if you want action on climate change, you've got to elect a Labor government. But for a Labor government to be elected, it has to have a climate change policy that doesn't leave people feeling that it's a threat to their jobs.
So who should be the spokesperson? Do you want the job?
No, I don't want the job, Jess. I took myself to the backbench in November for plenty of good reasons, including the desire to spend more time in my electorate. But it's up to Anthony Albanese, but I hope it's someone who understands that we need to put Labor back into the Labor Party, and we can't have climate change policies which are so ambitious that they make people in the coal mining industry, in the manufacturing sector and the oil and gas industries feel like their jobs are under threat.
Oh, Joel, thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning. We really appreciate your time, as always.
Great pleasure, Jeff. Thank you.